Bonjour, bonsoir. How are you, dear friends? We are building the most inspiring and phenomenal communities of wine lovers. As we all know, wine is the catalyst of the greatest discussion. We'll be talking wine, but of course food, and everything that touches all our nation and senses. Bonjour, bonsoir, dear friends. Welcome to JCB Live. Happy hour tonight with an incredible chef. We're going to be traveling all the way to the history of French food in America. His father started L'Auberge Chez François in Washington, D.C. in 1954. It's so exciting for me to introduce him that I'm having goosebumps. Why? Every single American president of the United States went to elect himself and herself to the fabulous Alsatian-influenced French food. He's built all awards you can possibly imagine. And his son, Jacques Heringer, is the heir and the leader today of this amazing expression of French food in America, being true to the northeast of France, to the terroir, with a Franco-American accent. This is so exciting to go to Virginia today, to the beautiful Great Falls area, which is 24 short miles away from the White House. So, dear friends, I'm very pleased to introduce the top 100 restaurants in the United States, among 15,000 ranked, and the famous, charming, irresistible, look how cute he is, Mr. Heringer, yes! Bonjour, cher ami!
That sound.
Bonjour, cher ami!
With your brand, with your champagnes, with your wines. We were in Paris last October. We had a dinner featuring your wines in Paris. We also had your Vinter on our cruise ship. We had 100 people doing a cruise from Paris to Normandy. So we've done so many events with you. It's great to finally get a chance to chat with you and talk about your wonderful products.
Cheers. Well, very kind, chef. Santé, as we say, to your health, to your incredible history, and your incredible future as well. So, à votre santé.
Merci et à la bonne vôtre aussi.
Well, chef, it's amazing. You do so many shows as well on television. To have you just for us today, and all our viewers from not only the U.S. but around the world, want to hear the incredible history. So, would you be so kind to give us a little sense of Chef François throughout time?
It would be a great pleasure. Papa and Mama, Mama was Basque, Papa was Alsatian, and they came over here in 1947, right after the war. And Papa worked in a couple of restaurants. He came to join my uncle, his brother, who had a restaurant here, Heringer's Buffeteria. And before both of them came, my great uncle Jacques, who worked with Escoffier in London, came here in the 20s. My uncle Alfred came here in the 30s, and Papa came, as I said, in 47. And they joined forces for a while, but being Alsatians, they couldn't work together. What a surprise. You know why we left France, right?
Yes.
Our friend
betrayed us.
Yes, of course. And so anyway, Papa was working at the Three Musketeer restaurant, Les Trois Mousquetaires. You're probably wondering about my French accent. Well, Jean-Charles, it's only for the paying customers. Papa was working at Les Trois Mousquetaires and took over as the owner in 1954. We were downtown until 1975, at which point they tore down the block. Actually, we had the Peace Corps right next to us, and we'd see the Kennedys and the Shrivers, and the folks in the Peace Corps would come to happy hours. How appropriate, this is happy hour, and split a beer and eat all the canapés. But that was fun. We were happy to support be sure. And when they knocked our block down, Papa knew this was coming. He always wanted to do and obey us, a country inn, because when he was an apprentice in Alsace, he worked in Kaisersberg and at L'Hôtel Chambard, and he always wanted to recreate that Alsatian country inn. And we found a country store here that we converted into a country inn. We're on 6 acres of land, and it has been just wonderful for the family. So we opened here in 1976. I was 10 then, Jean-Charles. Would you believe 12?
Absolutely. I was going to say 10 and a half. But
you've obviously been drinking. You've obviously been tasting your product, no doubt. We opened in 76, and we've been extremely busy ever since. We were closed for 3 months because of the situation now, but other than that, we've been very busy, and we're very busy again, I'm very happy to say.
So this is so exciting.
Yes, we're totally blessed.
And have you always been true to French cuisine within your education as well as your menu, it seems, right?
It is. We've always done that. We got a wonderful review from our friends at the Washington Post not long ago, and we were just about talking about our style over here, and we do the French classics. That's what we do. We try to do them well with a little bit of our own twist and turn, naturally.
Yes.
But we've always done it with a special emphasis on Alsace. Our next dish, which I'm going to prepare with your Riesling, is a Coq au Riesling.
Ooh.
One of the classic dishes in Alsace, for instance. So we've always tried to be true to our Alsatian and a few Basque dishes, because Mama was from Basque country. And
a great blend.
Classics.
Jacques, this is an amazing blend that you have in your blood. When you think, dear friends, Alsace, the Northeast, you know, one style of people, very straight, a little colder. Southeast, very warm, the Piment of Espelette, the country of Ravel. So it's two opposites of France, which attracts, and that's why you're the superb blend of both.
And they have their own language in the Basque country as well. There's a story that the devil spent 7 years in the Basque country and could never learn the language, and therefore the Basque are all virtuous because he couldn't tempt them. That's a wonderful story.
That's a great one.
Right. So we have your Riesling.
Yes.
And we're going to make a Coq au Riesling using the what? They make wine in California now? Jean-Charles.
Can you believe?
C'est pas possible.
C'est incroyable. C'est inimaginable.
Incroyable.
And specifically, and chef, specifically Riesling, which is really normally so true to Alsace and Germany. So why don't you tell us about Riesling and your love of it? And maybe you describe this one, because chef, you're a wine expert as well.
Well, I try to be. I mean, I drink it more than I buy it. But what I like to do is Alsace. Riesling is the king, I suppose, of the grapes from Alsace, the varietals from Alsace. And crisp, wonderful minerality in many, many of them. And, you know, I haven't had a chance to taste this in the last few minutes, by the way. But I am going to do it right now. And a little tip to your listeners and viewers, especially in this day and age, if you taste the wine in a glass, someone might think, oh, you're drinking. But if you put it in a bowl.
I love this idea.
Why, that's tasting. Remember, a chef never drinks, he tastes.
That's right.
That's right. A chef is never late, he's delayed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, we're going to try the Riesling.
So, salté to the recipe.
Excellent. And it, again, this is nice and crisp, some minerality to it as well. And I think it's going to go wonderful with the Coq au Riesling. So to make the Coq au Riesling, we have organic free-range chicken breast, of course. We try to work here, no hormones and antibiotics, the freshest food. We have two very large gardens right outside the window where we're right now, we're getting all sorts of tomatoes and haricots verts and peppers and our herbs. So what we like to do is to take the two chicken breasts, We're going to put some parsley, fresh parsley and thyme from the garden, and then onions, leeks, celery, carrots, and put it all together here. And then we're going to take let me just put that over here. And I'm going to take some cracked peppercorns, some bay leaf, cloves, etc. And then we're going to marinate it at least overnight in the, don't put too much in the marinade because we want to make plenty to drink ourselves, right?
Yeah, you want to keep some for yourself, Chef.
Sure. Just enough to cover it. And then we should marinate it at least 24 hours. I better taste it again to make sure it's good.
And why do you go so long on the marination?
I mean, I think that 24 hours is probably your minimum to actually get it to.
Okay.
To inspire that flavor to make sure it actually macerates a little bit in the Riesling. And you're going to take all of these ingredients and the Riesling and put that all in the sauce. So the goodness as well as the nutrition, very important, is all in the sauce, that you're not wasting anything flavor-wise, nutrition-wise. À la bonne vôtre.
À la bonne vôtre également. So, chef, I'm so delighted to see you respecting the passion of sauce. Can you tell all our friends listening with us today that sauces are very important for dishes at large?
Alsace, I think it has more Michelin stars than any province, or it did until very, very recently. It's a very important gastronomic area, a very important agricultural area. The Alsatian plain between the Vosges Mountains and the Rhine has always been one of the breadbaskets of France. So there's this wonderful produce, fruit. So you have the plain, then you have the foothills of the Vosges where you have the vineyards, and then further up you have the orchards at 300 meters or a little bit around that way. So it's very, very rich agricultural area. And I think it is an area where the best of the German side and the best of the Alsatian side, yes, meld. And so you have the sausages, the chacroute, the sauerkraut. We just made a batch of sauerkraut. And that's one of
my favorite dish.
I'm sorry?
It's one as well of my favorite dish. I'm a big fan of
that. We make it with seafood, as Monsieur Baumann in Alsace created a number of years ago. So it is a wonderful area for all of the essentials as well as the wonderful wines.
That's right. So in terms of the cook, au Riesling, yes. So when was that recipe actually created? Because obviously, you know, I'm from Burgundy, very close by, and the Alsatian and the Burgundy people love each other from food and wine because it complements each other. And we do the famous coq au vin, but with Pinot Noir grapes.
With Pinot Noir, exactly. And in Alsace, they've started doing Pinot Noir relatively recently, more than 20 or 30 years ago, but it's really taken hold more recently than it was, obviously, in Burgundy. So in Alsace, traditionally, you made your coq au vin or coq au Riesling with white wine, since that's what it was predominant. Grapes were white in Alsace until very recently. And we do some very nice Pinot Noir in Alsace, obviously incomparable in Burgundy.
Well, this is a great recipe. Now, luckily, you're going to share, and you're sharing with us the recipe so we can all practice.
Absolutely. So we're going to marinate it overnight. Yeah. We're going to pat it dry. I can't do it all. We're going to saute it in a little flour if you want, not absolutely necessary. And then we're going to put it into a pot that we're going to braise. So we're going to saute just to give it a little extra flavor, season it, put it in the pot, and separately we're going to boil the marinade. If you put the marinade in without boiling, if you're cooking with a still wine, you want to give it a boil. You can certainly add a Madeira or a fortified wine or a brandy to a sauce, but adding a still wine to the sauce without boiling it first tends to make it a little too acidic.
I see.
Give it a boil. We've made a chicken stock, obviously, with the bones. So we'll put our marinade in there. We'll take our chicken stock and leave the vegetables. Do a coq au vin rustique, something, a classic as you would at home, not so much in a restaurant, where you leave all the vegetables in with the cocoa fat and you serve it that way. So we're going to saute it, as I said. We're going to put the marinated, the boiled marinade in there. We're going to add and cover it with our chicken stock and just cook it in the oven until it's just cooked through 30 minutes or so, 35 minutes at 450 degrees. And when it comes out, you have your cook au Riesling. We're going to season it. We only use sea salt here because it is a much more full flavor. Try it at home. Try sea salt and your regular refined salt. And you'll see how much better the sea salt is. Not only that, the sea salt has all the micronutrients so essential for the diet that have been taken out of the refined kind of salt. Just try it for yourself. And then we are going to just finish it just before you serve it. I'm going to take a little heavy whipping cream, 40% butter. You know you want it.
You know, I love it. We need the cream.
Really, forget the slimming and trimming and all that. I think people, if you want to know what I think one of the differences is pre-COVID and post-COVID, is I think people are a little bit less worried about their allergy, their real or imagined allergies and food allergies and things like that. I think they enjoying oneself. Food brings everyone together. Everything in life is celebrated with a good meal and a wonderful bottle of wine. And I think that people are so glad to be out and about, that we're back open, that it's some of that the narcissism of the age, if I may be permitted to say it, is perhaps given way to a peu de joie de vivre, as it ought
to. Finally. Yes, chef, I agree with you.
Absolutely. So that we're going to add our heavy whipping cream, bring it to a boil, and then we're going to take our chicken breast. I mean, you can certainly use a whole chicken.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Chef, you see, I wish I was in front of you physically. This is my dream dish.
Oh, it's a wonderful dish. It's simple. It uses, you know, terrific wines. The vegetables are in there. We often serve it with spetzels or some sort of pasta. It goes wonderfully well. Or potatoes. We have a big potato patch in our garden, some boiled or slightly sauteed potatoes would certainly go well with it. It's just a terrific dish.
So this is amazing. You really do farm to table. You have your own gardening.
You really do. Right. All of my chef friends, and I'm going to get in trouble here, have these mythical farms somewhere. Just kidding. But ours is right outside. And I must tell you, Jean-Charles, around 7:30 every evening this time of year when the terraces are full, I grab a basket and I go out to the garden and I pick a few things. And then I walk back in the dining room and go, oh, you ordered that salad, didn't you? It's shameless self-promotion. Shouldn't be allowed.
I love it. But it's true. It's from the garden to the table. And it's
from the garden. We recycle all of our garden scraps, all the coffee grounds, the eggshells, all the leaves from the many trees on the property all go into the garden. So we're constantly enriching the soil.
Yes.
And I love it. I love going out and talking to my vegetables every evening. They don't complain. They now ask for days off, raises and things like that. They just grow. They're wonderful.
Can you give them a little bit of JCB and Riesling tonight? Just
a little
bit. So they're part of the party.
And you could certainly make the Coco Riesling with this wonderful Chardonnay that I've tasted as well.
Absolutely.
And of course, later you can make the classic Burgundian version with the Pinot Noir. We're going to taste the Pinot Noir with a different dish, but all of these would go wonderfully, especially this. This is a great dish. You can make it ahead of time. As a matter of fact, it's better if you make it the day before and let it kind of, you know, sit overnight in the refrigerator. It even has a better flavor often.
Oh, really? So why?
I highly recommend, like a boeuf bourguignon, another classic dish from your part of the country, where if you let it marinate and then you let it sit, it's often even more aromatic, let's say. I'm going to try to.
So the aroma comes through overnight sitting, and then like the boeuf bourguignon in many ways. So I'm thrilled to hear that, because the coq is one of my favorite dish. Coming from Burgundy with the breast chicken. Right. As you know, it's a true blessing to have this new recipe.
The last time we were there, I know we all had the roast chicken in bun. You know the place, and it was phenomenal, actually.
Well, and you know, a good friend of yours, who's going to be with us at some stage this winter, is our very good friend, Georges Blanc, who does,
right,
you know, la poularde à la crème.
Exactement, à la crème, exactly.
Yeah,
I think he uses a little bit more cream than I did here, but that's
fine. No, I know you were very, very well measured here. So, Chef Jacques, give us some... you've cooked for every president of the United States. What was your most fun memory and what you really want to share to us as far as a great story?
There's been so many. Of course, everyone here is known but not noticed. We've had presidents, Mick Jagger. We've had celebrities, all sorts of folks. And I think Mrs. Reagan, they were all wonderful. They're all nice people. You know, we're so sometimes divided and divisive. They're just people. They come in, they're looking to have a nice meal, enjoy themselves, and they're just people. Sometimes I think we lose sight of that, the humanity that is within all of us. And I know Mrs. Reagan would come out quite often, and she was just so wonderful and appreciative and, you know, not at all standoffish, not that any of them were, but I remember that very, very fondly because she came in so often.
So yeah, and French food.
My remembrance there that people are just people. Let's keep that in mind.
Well said. And Chef, what is, you've lived an amazing spectrum of time, you know, communicating the beauty of French food. Where is French food today, and where do you think it's going as a trend in the United States?
I think, great question, actually. Where is it going? For a while there, I mean, there were just a few restaurants when Papa opened up.
Yeah.
He used to tell a funny story that people didn't even drink wine when they opened up. The girls will have Coke and the boys will have coffee kind of things. And there's just been real evolution, a real refinement and knowledge, really it's a knowledge and not foodie so much in the negative sense of it, but people wanted to know more, they traveled more, they went to France, and there's just been this thirst for knowledge. And I think that initially France was very, very French. There were the Rive Gauche downtown, there was Sanssouci, there was Chez François, and it was mostly French restaurants. When Papa, during the Kennedy administration, for instance, and since that time, other trends have started. Obviously, there was a lot of interest in Italian restaurants, American cuisine, et cetera, et cetera. But now I think it's come full circle. It's like that tie you have in your closet. If you keep it long enough, it'll be back in vogue. It might not be as wide or as narrow as it's supposed to be, but I think that's what happened to French cuisine, where now it is very much back in vogue.
Oh, good.
I think because of in the United States, because there's been too much shishi, if I may say, overthinking things, making it a little bit too complex and complicated, in my opinion. Of course, I'm an old guy, so maybe that's the problem there.
No, you're a young man with a lot of experience.
Thank you. So I think that people have tried many things and they go back. Why are the classics the classics? Because they've withstood the test of time. And people go back to these dishes because they've enjoyed them. They've tried other things, certainly, but they keep coming back. And it is amazing. You have customers that come back and they want the same dish. They were engaged here, or they had a special occasion upstairs where we are right now, birthdays, anniversaries, and special occasions, and they want to re-celebrate those particular moments, and they want the same dishes. Not that we don't do new things, we do, but we keep the core menu to what our customers want to have.
And I know I would come and have
reinvent the wheel.
Well, it's great because you add your own twist to it, of course. But I know this amazing dish you just prepared. I would come all the time to have it and want to have people discover it because it's unique. Maybe you want to explain just briefly before your next dish, the foundation, the organization of the kitchen is really French-based. And I think it's so important for people to understand, you know, how structured and disciplined and organized you are in the kitchen to create the fabulous meals and dishes you craft.
I've noticed lately that having a guillotine out back helps with the discipline problem.
I like that. Well, we need it.
Recalcitrant servers and any complaining customers. We do the classic, again, my great uncle was with Escoffier in London, so we've inherited certainly the classic organization of the kitchen, the chef, the sous chef, the chef de partie, you know, garde manger, the chef pâtissier, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when you walk in there naturally, and many people do, they take a tour of the kitchen, and it looks completely chaotic, but it's controlled chaos. When we're at full bore, we have 40 people in the kitchen, 35 anyway.
Big organization.
It's a very large kitchen. We're lucky. Actually, it's a large restaurant. We're lucky because of these constraints of the social distancing, et cetera. We still have a fair number of seats. So we're very happy about that. But in the kitchen, it's pretty strictly along classical lines. We make all our stocks and sauces. We make everything from scratch. We make
congratulations.
And try to do it in the classic sense. And I know that people appreciate that. They taste it. They appreciate it. And that's why we've been successful.
For sure.
So very.
This is so exciting to hear because, you know, there's a true discipline, sequence, cycle on how to prepare dishes. And the fact that you showcasing that and keeping that tradition, I believe is so important. I'm thrilled to hear that we're going full circle again, back to that amazing French cooking, even though there's a good Spanish trend, there's the tapas trend, there's the sushi trend. It's great to see the French still remaining strong.
And you know what? I think of all those trends, if you look at them more closely, they're the traditional part of it. The traditional Spanish dishes, yeah, or the traditional Basque dishes, like their version of bouillabaisse choro, for instance.
Yeah.
Those, the classics. And I think when people, I've noticed this during economic turndowns or economic crises, folks tend to go with the tried and true. I don't think that's boring or anything of that nature. They go back to something, and I take objection when people call it comfort food. They go back to the classics. You know, when the Rolling Stones are in town, you don't want to hear a new song. You want to hear Satisfaction, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Very true.
I think that that's where we are in that sense. We provide this particular kind of experience. If you want something else, that's fine. You know where to go. We just do what we do, and we try to do it well. It's obviously succeeded without tooting one's horn too much. It's really
no, but thank you for being
satisfying. It's satisfying to see that we have so many people that continuously come back and celebrate their birthdays and anniversaries and so on.
And you're consistent with it, which is so great. And you're right. Sometimes we selfishly want to change a style or a dish because we've done it 1,000 times. That's what people want. And they come back to see you for this beautiful Croque au vin jaune.
We did open a brasserie, a Wienstube, if you're from Alsace.
Yeah, of course.
Downstairs, actually right under this room, which is more a la carte. We have tart flambés. We do a little bit more a casual, which the neighbors certainly support very, very well. So we've done that. I know when we were in Alsace some time ago, we saw that a lot of the restaurants have a menu gastronomique, a dining room gastronomique, but they have a brasserie or a Wienstube in the building or right around the corner.
Yes.
So tried to cover the folks that would like to have a you know, more casual, less formal time. And that has also worked for us very, very well. Now, we're really, it's not luck, okay? It's partly luck, but it is hard work, staying traditional, and keeping true to what we are. You're right. People overthink things sometimes. A lot of the chefs, God love them, they want to do things that they like. And last time I spoke at the commencement of a culinary school, and I said, you know what? You can do that. You should do that. You should make specials. You should do things that please yourself. But remember, it's a business. And at the end of the day, you have to make sure that what your product is, what you're doing, pleases the customers. Otherwise, you're not going to have a business anymore. So it's just like you can't change the Pinot Noir. I mean, you just
like a Cabernet.
That's why they go to Bourgogne, because of the wonderful the Pinot Noirs, the Chardonnays, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
That's my opinion.
No, thank you for those wise advice, Chef. So you have another dish you want to demonstrate?
Yes, I do. With the Pinot Noir, I'm going to get a little glass of Pinot Noir here. I'm doing one of the dishes that is the most popular. It's a crepe stuffed with wild mushrooms.
Oh,
I mean, Pinot Noir and mushrooms, that's a mariage made in heaven, I think.
Mariage de rêve. And Chef, before we move to the Pinot, I wanted to make sure you had our organic Chardonnay, because your garden as well is, of course, organic. And I wanted to make sure everyone understood that Chef, you know, Jacques focuses at Chef Francois on organic food as well. Everything coming from his magnificent garden is all true to nature, no pesticides, no herbicides, very similar to this wine. So I wanted to make sure we toast it to our shared vision.
Well, we're going to do that right now. Absolutely. That's very important, again, to have the freshest and the cleanest food. It tastes better. It's more nutritious. And there's a wonderful book, Jean-Charles, called The Demon-Haunted World by Carl Sagan, a book of essays, where he talks about how the lack of micronutrients in the diet can have devastating health effects. For instance, the lack of iron could lead to mental retardation, et cetera, et cetera. So pure whole foods, salt, right down to the salt, as much as possible. It tastes better and it's more nutritious. And why do we do that? Well, we want you to live longer and come back, of course.
Very true. Very well said. Well, talking about books, Chef, as you introduce your next dish, you have next to you, as we're going to try the Pinot Noir, a great book that you obviously have written. So would you be so kind to tell us about it so people can obviously...
This is the original Chef Francois cookbook. In our latest edition, we're always, you know, changing recipes a little bit, doing some new things that we wanted to include in the cookbook. So that's here. And then we have the Two for Tonight cookbook, which is the companion volume. Here it is. Thank you, Manir. It's the companion volume to our PBS show that ran for 3 years. And these are all recipes for two. So romantic.
I love it. So, Chef, as of today, we want to make sure we promote it in our wineries as well. Because many people come for romantic moments and they need the cooking direction from the top of the top, who is you.
But I must tell you, Jean-Charles, we really don't want people cooking at home. You understand that? It's bad.
No, for sure.
It's bad for business.
Well, and they will all come to D.C. and your beautiful area for sure. You're in the capital of the world, so we'll come and see you.
We are. Of course, if you're further than 50 miles out, you can use the recipes from the book and cook at home. It's okay.
Perfect.
We get that delineated a little bit. This is really nice, by the way.
So you love, obviously, the Pinot, the Riesling, the Gewürztraminer. So we wanted to showcase for you one of the key Pinot Noir of, naturally, the beautiful wine country of Sonoma. So... Mm-hmm. even though we're French tonight, we wanted to stay mainly American in honor of our beautiful American landscape as well.
Absolutely. We sell, and I was, of course, kidding. I try not to take anything too seriously. I think it's the fault that we, a fault that we have. We're taking ourselves and food, especially sometimes, too seriously. I mean, we're here to have a good time. We're here to enjoy. And if, où y a de la gêne, y a pas de plaisir.
Exactly.
You are worried about it, or you're thinking about it, or there's this or that. How can you enjoy yourself? How can you interact with your loved ones, your friends that you bring to dinner? I mean, c'est pas possible. I mean, relax, will you?
Hey, chef, I love the fact that you know that expression. How would you translate it in English?
Où y a de la gêne, y a pas de possible. If you're worried, if you're constantly worried about it, if you have some irritant in back of your mind, how can you sit back, enjoy the meal, enjoy the wine, enjoy your friends?
I mean, that's it.
That's why we've tried to get the allergies, they pop up every day. We've tried to put on the menu, we've tried to segregate out, well, this is gluten-free, this is that, because then you can relax and be assured that this, whatever issue that you have, is not there. We're trying to make it go away, because otherwise you won't enjoy yourself. You'll be worried about it. Am I going to eat gluten? Am I going to eat this? Am I going to eat that? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So, that's a great idea to do that.
We want to put people at ease. We want them to have a good time. If they don't have a good time, we've not completed our mission, I think.
That's very true. Very true. So, chef, as you're going to present this dish, what inspires you besides food? Or in global terms, where do you get such a phenomenal inspiration?
We travel a lot. It's been canceled for the moment. We have a travel business as well. We take clients on river cruises in Europe. The last one was in France, for instance. So we do travel a bit. And that is, of course, inspiring. I'm also a rock and roll drummer, which is what I want to do when I grow up.
I could sense it with your love.
Play on board. Actually, I play the drums every night on our cruises, as well as with our band here at L'Auberge every once in a while.
You probably turn your casserole in the kitchen and you just do it this way.
Well, you could. You certainly could. That's a lot of fun. That's music, of course, is a big inspiration.
And for sure.
Something that I want to do a lot of.
And obviously writing, because you've done two books so far. Are you working on a new one besides the PBS show you're doing?
Yeah, the PBS show, was a while back. We're going to be doing more of these type of Zooms. We always do a lot of cooking classes for our clients and for private groups. We have a lot of the wealth managers and bankers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that I do cooking demonstrations for. And of course, I make fun of them naturally.
Yes.
Obviously, you can tell I like entertaining. I like talking about it.
And you do a magnificent job.
That's the fun part. Sometimes slogging it out in the kitchen is less fun, I must say.
Well, you're so charismatic. We want to see you in the dining room as well. That's for sure.
Well, there's a double-edged sword there. People want to see you in the dining room. Some want to talk. And some people go, what are you doing in the dining room? Who's cooking my meal? Who's cooking my meal? And I go, well,
I've screened a few good ones.
People are funny. Let's face it. I mean, in a good way. You know, why isn't he back there cooking my dinner? You know what I mean?
For sure.
Of course, I'm back there cooking your dinner. Actually, I come in, Jean Charles, and I put a little sauce on my jacket. And I go out in the dinner.
Very artistic.
Yeah, man, that guy's been cooking. You know what I'm saying?
It's a good way to do it. So I have to say with my fingers.
Everything is about confidence and about perception.
So that's very true.
They know that I'm the teacher, I'm the mentor, I'm tasting, doing the menus, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not flipping steaks that much anymore.
Yeah.
Admittedly, but we're back to tasting, et cetera, et cetera. I remember my dad every afternoon around 5:30, we'd take all the sauces, we'd put it in front of him, we'd have salt and pepper and sherry and everything, and he would finish all the sauces. And we're still doing much of that same tradition type of thing. And he lived to be 91, worked one afternoon, went home, had dinner, unfortunately fell down during the night, and was gone the next day. Now that's the way to do it. You know?
That's a good way to go.
What he wanted to do, ça c'est beau ça.
Voilà, c'est l'évolution de la vie et la meilleure. La plus rapide. So let's look at this last Pinot Noir and that last fabulous dish that you have, the crepe with mushroom. One of my favorite dish too.
We have a crepe, and of course you can stuff them with many, many things. Alsace is known in Burgundy as well. There's the larger crepe that we put seafood in, that we do many, many things with. In this case, it is a duxelles, which is a puree, a little more than a puree, if you will, of mushrooms. So we'll take the mushrooms, we'll chop them a bit, we'll saute them in butter. What's wrong with butter? Nothing. And with shallots, and reduce it down and to get all of the, much of the water out and concentrate the flavors. So we're gonna make our crepe. This is a chive crepe. So we have chives from the garden in the crepe. It's also gluten-free. So we'll fill it with our duxelles.
I want to be in front of you right now to be able to taste all that amazing food. Yeah,
I'll have to drone one of these out to you. You have to come to Washington.
Oh, for sure. And I love coming.
We'll have fun. We'll do a dinner together. We'll have a blast. I promise you.
So I cannot wait.
I'm sorry. So we have sauteed, trio of wild mushrooms as well. So we have oyster mushrooms and shiitake mushrooms and some chanterelle mushrooms. We have a little tomato concassé, which is your chopped rough cut tomatoes, all from the garden this time of year. We've got almost 200 tomato plants in the garden.
Wow.
And then we'll put that together, heat it up, and we're serving it with a truffle sauce.
Oh, beautiful. What kind of truffle?
Well, right now, this time of year, they're from Australia. I'm not supposed to be a French chef and do that, but the Australian season is now, and they do a wonderful job. They figured out how to propagate truffles in Australia. And so our truffle season, that is in France and in Italy, et cetera, will start in November. But right now, they come fresh from Australia.
That's very nice. So you finished.
Really, really good. I'm not supposed to say that, right? We're supposed to have a monopoly on that, right?
Yes. So when it comes to France.
They may not let me back into France, Jean-Charles.
Well, I'll make sure you do. I'll give you my passport.
You'll help me out, right? You'll smuggle me on shore, I hope.
I'll put you in my suitcase like I do with the truffle the other way.
We're going to take our truffle sauce. So we have our sauteed mushrooms, the concassé, the duxelles inside of the crepe, and then we're going to finish it with a little bit of truffle sauce.
And we're delighted that you're sharing those recipes with us, because people are going to be able to go to traditional, incredible. Look at this. This is spectacular.
Extremely popular dish. Extremely popular.
So, chef, this is amazing. So, I would love for you, besides all the things you've told us on the evolution of food, on inspiration, on your passion, what is your next dream? You've done so much in the world of food. Is there more that you want to achieve there and more ideas you want to give us?
We are talking about we don't have rooms here at the inn. We're talking about putting some rooms, because we have 6 acres here. We're thinking about that. So that's one of the things. We actually had a luncheon yesterday with a civil engineer that we've asked us to help us figure out what we could do, something like that. We're going to ramp up our Chef Jacques chez vous.
I like that.
When we were closed because of the virus, we did some carry out. We did some special fête, if you will. We had grill fest. We had wine fest so that people could do at home. And we're just working on the platform now so we can do that all online. And I think especially since the winter is coming and our outside dining will be less accessible, we want to be able to recreate some of the events. People have been asking, and we're going to do more of it now that we're back up and running here, because we couldn't do both at the same time. I'm too old to do that at the same time, do carry out and try to get the restaurant back up and running. And now that we're back up and running, we have a tremendous team here. They stood with us through all of this and are back with us. And it's just incredible that we do that. We're also going to have more weddings. You know, the chef is like the captain of a ship, Jean-Charles. I can marry people. But it's only good on the premises.
And even after being 5 months together, they still going to want to get married. You could do divorce too.
My father, we do a fair number of weddings. My father, who was a real cantankerous Alsatian gentleman, would go to the groom, totally non-PC, you may not be able to use it, and go, "Are you sure you want to do this?"
It's always a question to ask.
Want the bride-to-be, so I put the guy on the spot, obviously. He did it every time. So we are working. We have 6 acres here. We're going to do more weddings out in the field. We had tented weddings. We're going to do an Oktoberfest. So we're pivoting. I'm sure we're all tired of that word. As there's a bit less of the a la carte inside dining, we're going to utilize, and we're fortunate. We have the land. We own the land. Very nice. And so I don't have to deal with any, landlord that I have to deal with is our family. So we're lucky with that. And so we're going to start doing those kind of events.
That's wonderful.
It gives us the opportunity to, okay, we're not going to have as much business this way. We're going to have more business this way, and it's going to be just fine.
Yeah. So you're adapting very well to a further dream.
It's a little bit more work for an old fellow like me, but we can do this.
For a young fellow like you who has a lot to say. So Jacques, you know, we're going to come chez Jacques. We're going to see you on social media. We're going to see you online. You've been so inspirational, so educational, and you gave us so many great messaging. Is there, as a conclusion, one last message you want to send to everybody around the world who are with us tonight and who would love to hear something as wise as what you've said all along, or crazy as what you want to say to the world?
I want everyone to remember, and I said it a little earlier, but I think it bears repeating, everything in life, from birth to funerals, are celebrated as we're doing today, celebrated with a great meal. Put down your iPhones and cell phones and don't worry so much about your allergies. We'll take care of that. Relax for a second and remember what we are, who we are. Because if we lose sight of that, if we lose sight of this, it's great. That's the terrible thing about this COVID thing and the loss of cultural entities, restaurants, museums, concerts. We're trying to do a few concerts here. Let's not forget that.
Yes.
Because if we do, we're toast, to use a food. And I'll drink to that. But
I'll drink to that too, Chef. Well, thank you so much, Chef.
Michelle and team, thank you so very much. And I want to thank my team here for putting this together. Because in case you don't know it, I still use smoke signals. and Kira.
I can tell. There was a few behind the windows.
Yeah, I was Napa.
And Chef, I agree with you. Giving time, allowing people to get around the table, spend time together, enjoy, and really give what time has to offer to us, which is the most precious thing, and just enjoying it.
We're nothing without it. We're really nothing without it, in my opinion.
So, Chef, to our next dinner together, we cannot wait, and we thank you so much.
We can't wait to see you, and I'll try working on my French accent before you get here.
It is very good, very good. Salty!
Oh, yeah!